from the Protection Cluster, UNHCR, and UNICEF, and the Shelter Cluster as well. The eligibility is basically the Social Welfare Department, DSWD, have a list of those that receive social welfare payments, and it's called the four P's, and it's generally anyone that falls below 10,000 pesos earnings a year. But I think the disconnect from a practical point of view is that if all the conversations go the right way around eligibility, and yes, it's the most vulnerable, and we've gone through and we've developed a very good vulnerability criteria with the government. But then actually when it comes down to it, we keep getting informed 24 hours before a movement happens that it's about to happen. And there are just lists put up. We've got very little, there's very little transparency about those lists. The informal settlements, they are the ones that are being aimed at for relocation. But it seems to be, just in a very frank way, I guess if you get on with the barangay captain, which is the lowest level elected official, then you generally get what you want. And we were seeing that through distribution of cash and shelters, that those that got on well with barangay captains in quite a few areas were successful, and others who'd lost everything didn't get anything. So the eligibility criteria is there. It's not, I don't think it's necessarily being used. And certainly when you look at the sweat equity policy that they put in place, it helps if you're a strong young man who can build your house, and that helps with your eligibility. So yes, that's one point that the Protection Cluster are advocating quite strongly against. And around consultation, Oxfam are also driving that one. And we're going to try and pick that up in a more kind of cohesive fashion. But Oxfam is certainly, that's one of the main things that they're really highlighting as the main concern. The land tenure status of coconut farmers, that's a tricky one, and not one that I have to say that I've been massively involved with, mainly because it's sitting, the kind of cocoa lumber issues are sitting with the Early Recovery Cluster and UNDP. But again, I think there definitely needs to be a lot of guidance around that. And if anyone has got any spare time, I know that people would be very, very happy to get that assistance. At the moment, all they've really been talking about is financial kind of compensation to tenant farmers and to landowners. So splitting with the lumber that's being taken away, 75% of the cost goes to the tenant farmer and 25% to the landowner. But they're not really, I mean, I don't think at the moment that it's really being addressed, the actual tenure status, and looking at the agrarian reform. I don't know, I'm assuming that will be something that will come up that should be dealt with, but at the moment it seems to be mainly about the financial, not reward, but compensation for downed lumber. And I think, I mean, it's come up before time and time again, as I'm sure you're aware, Daniel, like last year in Bofa and Washi the previous year, how that tenure status is impacted and the financial compensation. So at the moment, it seems to be each agency is just doing what they can do. And I know that CRS is focusing a lot on this as well. But I can't really give you any more of an answer, sorry.
Thanks very much.
It's Luke Miller here. And I just wanted to ask a question about civil society involvement. You mentioned a few times that you have been advocating to the government on a number of fronts. Is that in coordination with a broad base of civil society actors, or are you speaking exclusively about the IFRC?
No, I mean, definitely We've done the advocacy pretty much on behalf of the international humanitarian community. So all the advocacy has been done kind of through five clusters. There hasn't been a huge amount of HLP presence in the response. So albeit the Shells cluster's driven it, it's been very much a cohesive unit. We've done, we did a lot of advocacy with local government, and I spent a lot of time basically talking to local government and saying, if you want to do a durable relocation, then, you know, you maybe, how would you be able to ensure that the sort of seven criteria around adequate housing could be met? And that was always met with a kind of, oof, we just couldn't do that, or any of that. So we've used that very much as well, of using the local government's reaction. And also, I think they're just struggling a lot with support. Local government, kind of each municipality gets about $2.2 million a year from the national government in which to run their municipality. So they don't understand how they can fund a relocation by providing the land and then retraining life for livelihoods. But civil society, we've reflected the uncertainty. And again, Oxfam have done a fantastic survey, kind of an intention survey through the relocation areas. And I think generally overall, most people don't mind relocating, but they do if it impacts their livelihood and if it impacts what they get in the end, what their security of tenure will be, how involved they'll be. So that it's really pushing hard on the beneficiary selection, the consultation, and ensuring that what's received at the other end in the relocation sites is fair to those that have moved there. But you do sometimes wonder, I think the decentralized nature of the Philippines doesn't really help, because you may get an agreement at the national level, but it's really down to the local government to impose or to enforce a law or to, you know, how to carry things out. So you have to be doing advocacy at the national level and at the local level. The community involvement generally has been has not been good from the local government perspective, and so that's why we've really driven it at the national level, kind of reminding the government of what their population's looking for.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much, Victoria. We'll give her a round of applause and hope it helps put you to sleep.
Yeah, thanks so much for that. It worked out really well. Thank you.
Okay, no worries.
We'll
thanks
chat soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Good luck the rest of the day.
Cheers.
Okay. Good night.